Good morning. This is Long Island Morning Edition on 88.3 WLIW-FM, heard in Western Suffolk on 96.9 FM. I'm Michael Mackey. Fines for drivers caught passing stopped school buses generated close to $25 million in gross revenue for Suffolk County last year. Under a bus camera program, the county is touted as a vital safety tool for children, but also has been met with skepticism by motorists and officials concerned it's a cash grab. Lorena Mangelli reports on Newsday.com that first-time offenders received a $250 ticket when school buses flash their red lights and stop arm cameras extend and record drivers purportedly failing to stop during student pickups and drop-offs. During the program's first full year of implementation in 2022, the county delivered 118,929 tickets and generated an estimated $24,840,041 before expenses, according to unaudited data provided by the Suffolk County Executive's Office and Bus Patrol, the Virginia-based company that operates the program in 71 Suffolk school districts, including BOCES. Bus Patrol began operating in 28 Nassau County school districts in December. The number of tickets issued per month has gradually dropped since a November 2021 peak, which Suffolk County and camera vendor officials said they said that shows the program is working. But some drivers complained that the program seems focused on gotcha moments and they didn't receive initial notices of violations. Fines in Suffolk started in May 2021. The county has generated $12,131,000 through the program. Elective courses on personal finance are considered invaluable in Long Island schools, education advocates say. Students are not required to take a financial literacy course in high schools across New York, though they are in a growing number of states. That fact, along with concerns about equal access to personal finance education, has led advocates to call for all high schoolers statewide to learn about money management in a mandatory standalone class. Dan Denzel reports on Newsday.com that not everyone, though, agrees that mandating a course in school is the best approach. Some argue that efforts would be better spent on boosting existing curricula. Others worry that adding another requirement would crowd out other learning objectives. Meanwhile, community groups in Nassau and Suffolk have begun programs and hosted events to fill the need for more financial education, especially in communities of color. Momentum has grown across the U.S. in recent years to mandate that high schoolers learn about personal finance in a course all its own. Now, 17 states require students to take a standalone class on the topic to graduate, according to Next Gen Personal Finance, a national nonprofit that tracks state legislation. Riverhead Town Supervisor Yvette Aguiar announced Friday night she will not seek a third term of office. She did not provide a reason for her decision. Denise Civiletti reports on RiverheadLocal.com that in her statement, Supervisor Aguiar cites guiding the town through the pandemic, the purchase and demolition of two blighted buildings on Main Street for a new town square, which she called the key component for revitalizing our downtown and our train station area, and the purchase of property on West 2nd Street for a new town hall, as significant accomplishments of her tenure as supervisor. Other initiatives are well on the way, Aguiar said in the statement. Aguiar's term of office ends December 31st. On Election Day, November 7th, Riverhead voters will choose a supervisor who serves a two-year term. An increase in the MTA payroll tax will not impact nearly as many as employers as it did when implemented in 2009. But political opposition might be just as loud from suburban lawmakers who want to block it. It's one issue that appears to unite Long Island Democrats and Republicans in the New York State Legislature. At issue is a proposal from Governor Kathy Hochul to increase the top tax rate on a payroll tax that is paid by some employers in the 12-county region serviced by the Metropolitan Transportation Authority. The Democratic governor said the hike is needed to help the MTA recover from a huge deficit triggered in part by a steep decline in subway and train ridership during the COVID-19 pandemic. The New York City economy drives the state of New York, Hochul said when unveiling her proposed budget for fiscal 2023-24, and the MTA helps drive the New York City economy, so it's critically important for all of us. The levy, officially known as Metropolitan Commuter Transportation Mobility Tax, was enacted in 2009, a year after the stock market meltdown that sent the nation into a recession. New York Democratic Governor David A. Patterson approved the tax then as a way to cover a massive deficit and help fund the MTA. In 2011, the GOP helped push a rollback that exempted schools, libraries, and businesses with less than $1.25 million annual payroll. Now municipalities are not exempt either. State Senator Anthony Palumbo said it was due to the GOP that this rollback took place, and they want to keep it. Police on Long Island are intensifying patrols and boosting the number of scrapyard inspections in an effort to stop the scourge of catalytic converter thefts, officials say. Nicole Fuller reports on Newsday.com that Long Island has been an epicenter of the thefts of the vehicle emissions devices, which have become a favorite target of thieves because of their high monetary street value and how relatively easy they are to steal. Suffolk County Police Commissioner Rodney Harrison said he created the Property Auto Crime Unit late last year in response to the spike in property crimes, including catalytic converter thefts and stolen vehicles. Harrison said his officers and detectives had been sharing intelligence with the Nassau County Police Department, as well as the NYPD, state police, and federal authorities to crack down on the thefts. Although just one catalytic converter was reported stolen to the Nassau County Police Department in 2019, 2,292 converters were reported stolen in 2022. In 2021, the Suffolk County Police Department received reports of 282 converters being stolen, 1,581 the following year. A woman seemingly rose from the dead on Long Island over the weekend. Allie Griffin reports in the New York Post that the bizarre case unfolded when the 82-year-old woman was pronounced dead at 11:15 a.m. Saturday at the Water's Edge Rehab and Nursing Center in Port Jefferson. But after being transported to the O.B. Davis Funeral Home in Miller Place, the woman was found to be breathing shortly after 2 p.m., according to police. Funeral home staffers made the shocking discovery, and the octogenarian was then brought to an area hospital, Suffolk County Police said. Her current condition is unknown. It's unclear if the woman was declared dead in error or if she experienced a medical episode that could have contributed to her apparent resurrection. The case has been referred to the New York State Attorney General's office. Construction on a 22,000-square-foot freestanding emergency room in East Hampton will begin this month, according to the Southampton Hospital Association. The Stony Brook Medicine East Hampton Satellite Emergency Department will provide expanded access to health care for residents and visitors of the easternmost portion of the South Fork. The facility, originally slated for completion in late 2023, now is expected to be built by summer 2024. Joe Workmeister reports on Newsday.com that residents in the East Hampton area have expressed concerns for years about the time and distance to reach the nearest hospital during emergencies, especially during high traffic periods. The separate plan to relocate Stony Brook Southampton Hospital further west to the Southampton campus of Stony Brook University would add to that distance. That plan, delayed by the pandemic, is about 4 to 5 years from completion. Downtown Montauk is more than 26 miles from the current Southampton Village Hospital location. The East Hampton facility will cut that distance in half. East Hampton Town Supervisor Peter Von Skoyak told Newsday that ambulance crews can get tied up for hours while battling traffic to transport patients. Ensuring access to quality health care for our residents and visitors has long been a priority, and we have been pleased to partner with Southampton Stony Brook Hospital to achieve this goal, said Supervisor Von Skoyak. The state-of-the-art satellite is to be constructed at 400 Panico Place in East Hampton, where it is now a partly sunny 37 degrees at 8.5 minutes before 9 o'clock. This has been Long Island Local News on Long Island's only NPR station, WLIW-FM. I'm Michael Mackey.